and welcome to TwerpCast, episode 49, ThorCast. This week we will be discussing Dr. Don Blake and his alter ego, Thor. I'd like to introduce you to the Kool-Aid Man of Internet Radio, executive producer Jim Caswell.
And that's Doug Zeitlin, the man who claims his favorite Avenger is Jarvis.
I never said that.
And why do you keep on dressing up like him for Halloween?
For the candy. Also today, we have with us special guest correspondent Ken Halloran,
who, after all this talk of Kool-Aid, can't help but think of his joke about Jim Jamestown. But don't worry, the punchline's too long.
Now, we're going to start out with some Norse mythology. If you're asking yourself, why are we talking about mythology when we're talking about an upcoming Marvel Comics movie, then you don't know your Norse mythology.
Or your Marvel superheroes.
The character of Thor is based off of the Norse god of thunder, Thor.
Well, Jim, why don't you tell us a little bit about the background and the mythology of Thor?
Thor originated as part of the Germanic mythology, only back then he was known as Donar. The character has a lot of things in common also with the Roman mythology god named Jupiter.
Yes, and when the Romans met the early Proto-Germans, for lack of a better term, they immediately made the associations.
There was also a Celtic counterpart called Tyrannus, who was also eventually added into the story base that would eventually become Thor. In addition to the Marvel Comics character, the other way that the character of Thor is best known is, at some point along the line, the naming of the days from the Roman calendar got changed from the day of Jupiter to Thor's day, or Thursday.
Friday was Freya's day, but Saturday was still Saturn's day, and Tuesday was Tuesday, and Wednesday was Wotan's day. So most of them, except for Saturday, were still using the Norse names. But Saturday had retained the Roman.
One other thing of note is that in the classic mythology, Thor was a ginger. In other words, he had red hair and a full beard.
Actually, just for clarification, the beard has nothing to do with being a ginger. But that has more to do with Norse society, where pretty much after a certain age, if you were a man and a Norseman, you were expected to have a beard.
It was a sign of your manliness, which says a lot considering the fact that Loki, as far as I can tell, has always been portrayed as being very clean-shaven. Thor gained further dominance when the Vikings had adopted the polytheism of the Germanics, while Norway became predominantly Christian.
And Sweden. And Iceland.
The popularity of the Norse mythology continued in their storytelling, artwork, and architecture.
Which kind of goes with the territory. You go to the Vatican, you find statues of Neptune and other Roman-type gods anyway, just because, again, it's state-of-the-art.
One of the more modern uses of Norse mythology happens to be in the Nazi swastika, which supposedly represented Mjolnir, which is the Thor of Hammer, or the lightning of Thor. Additionally, Scandinavia is filled with locations named after or dedicated to Thor.
Everything I've ever read on the subject, Thor, while not the head of the Norse gods, was easily the most popular of the Norse gods. Swedish chemist Jean Jacob Berzelius discovered the chemical element thorium in 1828, and it was thorium. It was named after Thor.
Thor, as a Marvel character, first appeared in Journey into Mystery number 83. That was August of 1962. He was created by Stan Lee, scripted by Larry Lieber, and penciled by Jack Kirby.
Now, one of the interesting things about their interpretation of Thor was the fact that they turned him from a redheaded Viking into a blonde-haired, blue-eyed surfer dude.
Well, they never made him a surfer dude. In fact, the surfer dude ended up being the silver-coated guy. But
he had the long blonde locks, clean-shaven. Lee had decided to use Norse mythology because people were already fairly familiar with Greek and Roman mythology, and it was already kind of hitting some popularity over in DC and Fawcett comics.
Well, by 62, Fawcett was a non-player, but they had used it rather successfully. In fact, if you look at the early Thor stories, that was kind of what they were hitting on. The similarities between the earliest versions of Thor and Captain Marvel were pretty strong. In fact, there's no indicator in the early stories that Don Blake was anything other than a transformed human being when he became Thor, and he hadn't developed a speech impediment yet.
What speech impediment?
his curious habit of being a thousand-year-old Viking who's speaking like a bad Shakespearean actor. All the these, thous, thys.
What dost thou meaneth?
It means that the, just do you wait, Loki, you's gonna be skin you won't forget, just wouldn't have worked. Yes, I am mocking the typical Norse-Swedish accent thing. If anyone cares, I am one quarter Norwegian. My great-grandparents came over from Norway.
In the comic, Thor is bonded by Odin to a human Donald Blake because he feels as though Thor needs to learn humility.
He was the most popular of the Norse gods, after all.
And Odin is a jealous god. My son's more popular than I am.
Wah! I have to keep my eye on him.
Thor increased in Marvel popularity when, because of an artist running behind schedule, and back then you booked printing times months in advance, they realized that the book that was supposed to be coming out wasn't going to make it out, so they quickly threw together characters from four different features into one group book, using Thor's half-brother Loki to create the Avengers, where Thor was a founding member and a long-standing member of the team.
That's how it came about. I never knew why they finally relented and did, okay, let's do a Justice League-style team. Not that it was really that Justice League-style, but the whole let's take characters from our other books thing.
It was a deadline issue. And in my personal opinion, The Avengers is one of the best books that Marvel has ever put out.
One of the few Marvel books I've ever collected. I'm a DC guy, folks.
Now, Thor has achieved some popularity outside of the comic books. Not nearly as much as some of the other ones that have been featured in the films lately.
Iron Man, Spider-Man, Wolverine.
X-Men, even Captain America. But he has been seen in other places. He was one of the five characters featured in the 1966 series, The Marvel Superheroes.
That's the, and trust me, I use this phrase very liberally, animated series.
Yeah, it was basically stills drawn from the comic book and...
Stills drawn from the comic book, my butt. They cut the comics apart as near as I could tell.
But I loved them as a kid.
Oh, yeah. They were fun. They followed the stories fairly precisely, and it looked like Jack Kirby's art.
That's probably because they cut the comic book apart and threw it together.
Yeah, actually, I think on Namor they might have been using John Romita, but anyway.
He was also featured in The Incredible Hulk Returns, which was a TV movie set after the series had concluded, and it was in 1988.
That was only barely the comic book Thor. I mean, it had Don Blake, and it had a big blonde surfer-looking dude they called Thor, but, I mean, he was just some kind of reincarnated Viking, not actually Thor, the God of Thunder.
Thor was played by Eric Allen Kramer. This is where you say, who? Donald Blake was played by Steve Levitt.
All together now.
Who?
David Banner was played by Bill Bixby. We know who that is.
He has also made guest appearances in many of the animated series, starring other Marvel heroes. He is currently featured on both the Superhero Squad show and the Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, both of which are Marvel-produced animated series. And lastly, Thor Tales of Asgard is going to be a direct-to-DVD animated film later in 2011. Which brings us to the upcoming movie. Thor is being released May 6th to theaters everywhere. It is the latest in the Avengers-based superheroes, all of which are leading up to the Avengers movie. This particular one is directed by Kenneth Branagh, stars Chris Hemsworth as Thor.
Who?
He was the guy who played Jim Kirk's dad in the most recent Star Trek film.
You know, I noticed Kirk's mom because the actress also was on House, which I've seen bits and pieces of, and well, she's hot. George Kirk made no impression on me whatsoever.
He died well.
Okay. I remember he came to C2E2, and I don't know if you guys touched on this in the C2E2 cast, but I know I was kind of annoyed where they were, you know, making this big fuss about him being there and charging an arm and a leg to get his autograph, even more than, say, you paid to get Eliza Dushku's autograph, because he was this big star in a movie that hadn't even come out yet.
Natalie Portman is playing Jane Foster, the love interest of the comic books.
When it wasn't Sif, Don Blake's lady friend was Jane Foster. Thor's lady friend was the goddess Sif because when they started incorporating more Norse mythology, they felt they needed to bring that in. Sif, by the way, was not the inspiration for the name Syphilis.
Anthony Hopkins is playing Odin.
That's cool.
Again, if you're going to go with Thor speaking Shakespearean English, Why not get a Brit to play his dad?
Yeah.
And Tom Hiddleston as Loki. Ready?
Who?
Personally, I am looking forward to the new movie. Anything directed by Kenneth Branagh has got A-OK written on it in my books. It's got Natalie Portman. What more can you ask for?
Natalie Portman naked.
The one thing that I see about the movie from the previews is this looks more like its ultimate Thor than the original Thor from Journey into Mystery.
I don't know, but I know this Thor will be interacting with the Samuel L. Jackson Nick Fury, and the Samuel L. Jackson Nick Fury is the ultimate Nick Fury from the comics, so that really doesn't surprise me. I'm amused by all the people who are online who are complaining about him not having his helmet.
Doesn't he have a helmet, at least for part of it?
He does helmet for part of it. They just want him to be wearing the helmet the whole time. But again, that goes back to that whole actors like their eyes to be seen and like to be able to do facial expressions, and yeah, they're actors.
When it comes down to playing superheroes, some actors have it written into their contract that they only spend a certain portion of the movie in their uniforms.
Why did they sign up to play a superhero if they aren't going to be in the uniform?
Because they're afraid they're going to get typecast as the superhero in spandex. Plus, do you realize how much time in the gym you have to spend in order to look good in spandex? Oh wait, none of the three of us would know how much time it would take to spend in the gym to look good in spandex.
When was the last time you saw a superhero movie where they wore spandex?
When was the last time you were in a gym? Jim, what are your pre-show impressions of the new movie?
I'm in the weird position where I really like the idea of Kenneth Branagh doing a superhero film. Initially, the two should not match up, because Kenneth Branagh is so well known for his Shakespearean interpretations and his dramatic movies and just being very highbrow.
Yeah.
So the idea of him doing Thor really seems like a good match, going back to that whole Thor speaking Shakespearean thing, even though he shouldn't be.
I don't know. Thor, I always would have thought that it should have been, you know, say, a Richard Donner movie. But bad puns aside, this is one where I'm finding myself hard-pressed to care.
With this being released in May and Captain America being released in July, I find myself looking more forward to the Captain America movie. I'm really wanting to see that. Thor, I'm just kind of like, I'll see it. I'll probably end up owning it. But it's not like when I sit there and go, hey, I really want to see that Captain America film. Or, hey, X-Men First Class looks kind of interesting. Or,
hey, I'm looking forward to Green Lantern.
He was the next one on my list. A lot of people are concerned that Green Lantern is going to suffer coming out in this very heavy superhero summer. But I think it's Thor that's actually going to suffer.
I hope it's Thor that suffers. I want to see a good DC superhero film. DC guy. But no, the other part of it is Captain America is one of the other Marvel books I've collected. I'm looking forward to seeing Captain America. At best, I'm ambivalent about the character Thor.
I've always been a big fan of mythology.
Mythology's cool.
So there is a part of me that feels like I should like Thor more than I do. But again, when I think of mythology and the mythology that I'm drawn to, it is the Greek mythology / Roman mythology, and there just isn't as much about Norse mythology.
Well, honestly, this is weird because it was more recent, but I think less of it was written down. There's a lot of it, and less of the text survived. But the other part of it is comic book mythology, and I don't care if we're talking Wonder Woman or Captain Marvel or Thor, ain't accurate. Borrows what it wants, and borrows what it doesn't want. And for all of the inaccuracies of, say, the William Marston Wonder Woman stories, and trust me, the mythology in there is awful, there's nothing as just plain out egregious as, oh look, it's Thor, you can tell by his blonde hair and clean-cut chin. I mean, Hercules in the Wonder Woman comic book at least looked like you expect Hercules to look.
Doug, what are your pre-show impressions of the movie?
Going strictly by trailers? I give it a failure. I don't want to say that because I love Kenneth Branagh, but I'm looking at it as the first Marvel movie, like, not to make its money back.
Did you forget about Daredevil?
Thanks for reminding me. Do you remember Elektra?
Unfortunately, yes. Unfortunately, I think that Thor is going to be a little bit too highbrow for your standard Marvel movie zombie.
Well, that's something I can agree with.
I'm not worried about the Marvel movie zombie. I'm worried about the typical movie zombie, period.
You mean the ones without brains?
the concept is a little on the far side of the bell curve.
That being said, it's not like I'm sitting here going, oh, I think this movie's going to blow because I don't like Thor, or...
Neither am I. I'm saying I'm ambivalent.
I was actually quoting some of the haters online.
Ah, the I don't like the character, so it has to be a bad movie.
Yes.
Yeah, we went over this in last episode when we talked about Green Hornet and my be able to distinguish between what I like and what is good.
I've always liked the Avengers. Like you, it's one of the few Marvel things that I actually collect.
Now here's the thing I don't understand in the Marvel Universe about Thor, is according to everything you read in, like, Watmu, the official handbook of the Marvel Universe, is that the general populace doesn't know that Thor is really supposed to be the Thor from Norse mythology. And I can accept that people don't know this. He doesn't look it. But I'm sorry, you got some guy who looks like a surfer, talks like he thinks he's Patrick Stewart.
A guy who talks like he's just stepping out of a Kenneth Branagh film.
And is up there, you know, a Superman level of power. Why don't people just think he's a completely insane mutant?
Especially in the Marvel Universe.
Exactly.
Where everybody's a mutant.
Or it should be. I mean, you'd think with all the anti-mutant hysteria, it would occur to J. Jonah Jameson just once to say, is Spider-Man a mutant? But that's just a whole critique of the Marvel Universe.
We can get into that more on a future Torpcast.
And then we could get started on the DC Universe, which I'm not too happy with these days either. But anyway.
So, do I think that this movie is going to be a success? I do not think it's going to be another Spider-Man or X-Men. I also don't think it's going to be another Daredevil or Elektra. I think it's going to fall somewhere in the middle, right around the Wolverine movie.
I have no opinion on how well it's going to do, because, well, first of all, I know I'm ambivalent, and B, I know I'm not in sync with most of America on most things, so I ain't even going to guess.
You talked about C2E2 a few minutes ago.
Yeah?
I know that about 90% of their display revolved around this movie.
Oh, at the Marvel tables?
Yes, at the Marvel tables.
At Marvel tables? DC guy, sorry. Actually, I didn't go to the DC tables either.
So it really feels like they're putting a lot of their energies behind this movie and very little energies behind Captain America, which is coming out just 2 months later.
We're hitting convention season. There will be plenty of comic book conventions after the 6th of May and before the 4th of July, or whatever they're releasing Captain America on, where they'll be able to push Cap.
I'm just kind of getting the overall feeling that they feel like Cap can support himself, and they need to put the push behind Thor.
Like I said, look for more push for Cap in a week.
We'll see in a few days how well it does.
As always, we thank you for listening to Torpcast. We encourage your feedback. Please write jim@torponline.net. We can also be reached on MySpace, Facebook, Zanga, and Twitter.
Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been a production of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions, copyright 2011.
John's Jacob Belisarius discovered
the chemical element thorium.
Help me.